I'm Leanna Shields, and you're listening to the Cozy Sleuth. Today, Snoops and Sleuths, I have with me Helen Golden, here to talk about her books, writing, and all things cozy. Helen, would you like to introduce yourself to my Snoops and Sleuths?
Of course. Hi, Leanna. Hi, everyone listening. My name's Helen Golden. I live in the United Kingdom. In fact, I live in England, in a county called Lincolnshire. So if you imagine the UK, ignore Scotland at the moment, go to the middle of England, scoot slightly right towards the bit that bulges out, and that's roughly where I live, in a small village with my husband. We've got two dogs, tortoise. My stepdaughter lives with us and her two cats. So we're quite a busy little household. Our village is a bit like, do you know Midsummer Night Murders, or Hot Fuzz? They're both quite like our village. When we first moved here, we were really worried that people were going to suddenly appear in cloaks and start making sacrifices. That will mean something if you've watched the film Hot Fuzz, but it's certainly very quintessentially English. Everyone is very nice. We've got an old church, we've got a village green with a red phone box and a red post box and a big tree. We've got a farm, we've even got a manor. Complete with a lady of the manor and her butler who lives with her. There's only about 200 houses, so it's quite small. So everyone sort of knows each other, and we've got quite an active village hall and social club and various things going on. So that's where I live. I'm came to writing quite late in life. I'm the wrong side of 55. That's all that I'm prepared to admit anyway. And I released my first book called Spruced Up for Murder back in October 2022, so about 18 months ago. Since then, I've been really busy. I've released a further eight books and another two novellas, all in the same series, which is called A Right Rural Cozy Investigation. I'll tell you very briefly about the series, and then you can ask me all your deep questions. So it's called A Right Rural Cozy Investigation. It's a series of books that follows my amateur sleuth. She's called Lady Beatrice. She's the Countess of Rossex, and she's 17th in line to a fictional British throne. It's contemporary, so it's based currently at the moment, and she lives in a large stately home that actually is part of her father's family. Her mother is the queen of the current king. And we meet her at a crossroads in her life. Her son's about to go off to boarding school. She doesn't know what to do with herself. And she has an opportunity to follow her passion, which is interior design, working on projects initially at Francis Court, which is the name of the place that she lives. And then as the season series progresses, she goes on to royal palaces and various other large stately homes. But the only problem is that she's a bit of a trouble magnet when it comes to murder, as all good cozy sleuths are. She's aided and abetted by a cute little dog called Daisy, who's a little terrier. She's got a flamboyant business partner called Perry, and he has a crime writing ex-CID other half called Simon. And ultimately, throughout the series, she butts head with a detective chief inspector called Richard Fitzwilliam, who works for the organization that protects the royal family. And ultimately, she tries to solve crimes before him. So that's a hopefully a decent enough summary of me and my series.
That sounds great. So,
Thank you.
is any of your writing inspired by your actual life?
So I have to say my husband is a big muse because every time he upsets me, I think of another way to kill him. So that's quite useful. But on a more serious note, I think I'm quite inspired by stately homes. We're very fortunate where we live here that we've got quite a few of them close by. And Francis Court, where my main character lives, is actually a combination of a place called Belton House, which is owned by the National Trust. They own a lot of large stately homes in the country, and another one in Norfolk called Holcombe House. So I think that was where my setting came from, and I wanted to do something based in a stately home. And then it was just a question of finding out how to do that. But now I'm on book, well, I'm currently writing book 9 of my series as we speak. I find my characters themselves are inspiring me. I want to see them grow and develop, and ultimately, I want to give them a happy ending. So they're really more what's driving me now rather than my actual life.
I get that. I get that. Wow, 9 books in the series. That
I've
is
been very
impressive.
busy. Thank you.
I just find that impressive because I'm currently working on the fourth book in my series, rewriting it. And that to me just seems daunting.
I guess, so there's two things. One is I fairly much write full time, so that does give me the time to do that. I also cheated a little bit and I stockpiled my first three books. So although I didn't release my first book until October 2022, I'd actually been writing for a good 6 months before that. And I released my first, in fact, my first four books 1 month after another. So that kind of got me on a path. And I've got quite a good process. I find that I'm a real planner. So as long as I've got my outline planned and I know what I'm writing, I actually can stay quite focused. I don't get lost and I don't really, touch wood, I haven't had any writer's block yet. So I think being a planner helps.
Sometimes I wish I could be a planner. I've tried, and my characters end up being little 2-year-olds who don't want to talk to me if I force them into a plan.
I do get that, and I talk. It's a real question, isn't it? One of the first things you say to an author when you meet them is, "Are you a planner or a pantser?" Because they are very, very different ways of dealing with it. I'm glad I'm a planner because I would find that very distracting if my characters did their own thing. They do their own thing a little bit, but within a framework that I kind of keep them within, and I can imagine being a pantser is quite difficult.
Yeah, from the pantser perspective, definitely difficult because it's like book 2 in my series is my best example of it. I had everything laid out for the killer. Oh no, character C, who I hadn't even set up in the book all that much, storms in and is like, nope, I did
I'm sorry, I couldn't cope with that, Leanna. That would drive me. I wouldn't be able to produce as many books as I do if I had to deal with that, getting that all back on track. I like to have my kind of timeline and my all my suspects lined up and who's done what. And I actually do something that I find very useful. I don't know whether you would, but I have a document called All About the Murder, and one of the sections that I complete is I actually write the murder from the murderer's point of view in first person. I actually write in third person in my books. Got quite a deep point of view, but third person. But in this document, I write it in first person. And I think one of the things that helps me do is, well, it helps me check whether I've got any issues, any big gaps. It helps me make sure that I understand what clues might have been left behind and why. And it also really solidifies that murder and who's done it and why. And that becomes the essence of my book. So I think having that means that I don't kind of go off track too much. So there's a little tip for anyone who's writing a murder mystery is try and write the murder from the murderer's point of view and see whether you can make it work.
Which just touched into my second question. Any advice for those who want to write their own cozies or just write in general?
I think if you want to write, I would say read, 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 read. Make sure that you're, and I think when you read, you almost without realizing it, you absorb story structure, you absorb character arcs, so that when you actually come to write them, you understand the timing and the pacing of a book. And the more you read, particularly in your own genre, the more that that becomes familiar for you. And then I think it's a question of There's two questions, I think. One is, do you want to write that book that's burning inside you and you just want to get it out and you don't really care what happens to it once you've written it? Or do you want to make a full-time living out of being a writer, which I think all of us would say is quite a tough call. And interestingly, I was listening to your podcast with Ginny, who said, you know, don't be afraid to go out of the box and just write what you write. And I agree with her to a point, but I think if you want to be commercial about it and really make a career of it, I actually disagree with Ginny. I think you have to stay within the box because cozy mystery writers, in particular, know what they want, they know what they like, and they have an expectation. And if you don't meet that, then you will possibly struggle to sell in the kind of volumes that you would need to sell in order to make a living. So I think if you want to make do it as a commercial thing, then you need to write to market. You need to know what that is. So again, read. And then my sort of second piece of advice would be don't compare yourself to other authors. And Liana, you're probably like me. You know, all authors have have an element of second guessing themselves. I think they call it imposter syndrome. But the worst thing you can do is compare yourself to other people, particularly if they're best sellers or kind of famous people in your genre. Because although it's great to be inspired by them, we're all on a different journey, and it can be a bit dangerous to judge your progress by comparing it to others. So I think just write. That's the most important thing. Write as much as you can and hone your writing skills. And most of all, enjoy it, because I think that shows in your books. If you love writing and you love your characters, then that shows in your books, and your readers will feel that. And also, it won't feel like work if you enjoy it.
Absolutely. I agree with that. It's you can't be bored in what you're writing because then your readers are gonna pick up on that boredom and not want to finish it.
Totally.
So, do you have a favorite character or would you get in trouble with your other characters?
That's a bit like asking someone if they have a favorite child, isn't it? So, of course, I'm going to say the right thing. I'm going to say I love them all equally, which I do. But I do have a soft spot for one of my characters. So he's Perry Duke. Perry is, or becomes Lady Beatrice's best friend. And he's just such fun to write. He's quite flawed, but he just owns who he is. And I really love that about him. So I think Perry probably is my favorite. I have canvassed to my readers, and funny enough, my readers' favorite character is Perry's partner called Simon. Simon's quite reliable, whereas Perry's quite flamboyant. Simon's quite reserved, but very confident. People like him a lot as well. So, yeah, I guess they're my two favorites, although I don't have favorites, obviously.
Would you say you have would you say you have an author that's most influenced your writing?
I've always loved reading. My parents read and I've read, and I think probably Agatha Christie, which again, I'm sure is very typical of a particularly of a British writer, would definitely have to be up there as one of the big influences. But more as I got slightly older, I think I went to more to people more like Simon Brett and MC Beaton, who write more cozies, are a little bit more light-hearted, quite fun. I've always loved a good whodunit, so I've always enjoyed those. And a lot of cozy writers I've found are, let's say, middle-aged-ish, and I'm just saying that as a general. So I think because our readers generally are as well. So that's kind of also inspired me, those cozy writers who, you know, quite often come to writing late in life, like I have, when my sort of job came to a natural end and I thought about what I wanted to do. I'd always dreamed of writing in kind of in my head, the sort of question, if someone said to you, "What would you do if you won the lottery?" My first response would have been, "Buy a house by the sea and write books." But I'd never really seriously considered doing it. And then I found myself in a position where I was at a crossroads, a bit like my main character finds herself. And I thought, if I don't do it now, then I won't. And I think knowing that a lot of those people wrote later on in life actually was my inspiration for saying, I'm going to give this a go.
And that's awesome. So, if you and your main character sat down for coffee or whatever your preferred caffeine intake is, what would you get and what would she get?
Okay, Lady Beatrice would definitely have black coffee, no sugar. And anyone who reads my books knows that she drinks a copious amount of coffee. In fact, probably to the point where she needs help, I suspect. But it just suits me that they spend a lot of time drinking coffee and as again, a lot of sleuths do to discuss what they're going to do next or who they think their suspects are, etc. If it was an afternoon, she might have an Earl Grey tea. I would definitely have an Earl Grey tea with her. I like an Earl Grey tea. I like black coffee, but I'm not really very good with caffeine, so I would have to have a decaf. But yes, that would probably be. We would have fairly similar tastes, but she would go for the caffeine hit, and I would prefer not to, or you'd be scraping me off a wall by about lunchtime.
Oh, that's kind of funny. With my character, yeah, I get the whole way too much coffee because
Yeah.
my character actually has friends that are like, you know what? You might want to cut back. And one of them even tries to slip in chamomile tea on her.
It doesn't have quite the same "let's meet up for a chamomile tea" though, does it? It doesn't have the same feeling as "let's grab a coffee."
Right.
My main character has got a dog called Daisy, and when I first wrote my very first book, my first draft, they spent a lot of time feeding Daisy tidbits to the point where, when it went to my editor, she said, "I really think you're going to get people complaining about her being overfed if you don't cut some of this out." So I had to kind of cut some of that out. And in fact, actually, Daisy got put on a diet in book two because she was being fed way too much, because my characters do spend quite a lot of time eating and drinking when they're discussing, as I said, their plans or what they're going to do next or who they think their suspects are. So I have to be really conscious now that Daisy's allowed to have only the odd treat, and the rest of the time, people have to say no to her.
I actually think that's funny because it's like a little bit of real life. If you have a dog that you're constantly slipping the little crumbs to, they're going to go on a diet eventually.
And it's actually not Lady Beatrice, it's Perry and Simon and eventually other people, that they all give her treats. So Lady Beatrice spends a lot of time saying to people, "Please don't give her any more treats," or Perry will sneak something under the table to Daisy, and Lady B will go, I saw that." You can be the one to take her to the vet next time they tell you that your dog is chubby. You can explain why she's a little bit overweight. So yeah, we have a lot of that in the series.
So, outside of writing, do you have any hobbies that you like to do?
I never seem to have as much time as I used to, but then I suppose if you think that I've written that many books in such a short period of time, it's probably not that much of a surprise. But I do love visiting country houses. As I said, they're quite an inspiration for me, and we're very fortunate that we've got a lot of them in this country, and we've actually got quite a lot of them in this area. We have some are called Beaver Castle, which is beautiful, but less than 10, 15 minutes away. And that's a beautiful building. So when it's on my list of when people come to stay, the first thing we do is go to Beaver Castle because it's very impressive. It's up on a hill. We've also got, as I said, Belton House, which isn't far away, which is National Trust. So I do go to those places quite frequently. And I like to visit other stately homes in other places quite often as a little bit of research. So my husband has to go up to Scotland occasionally for work, and I quite often tag along on the basis that I need to do research and then drag him around a load of castles. One of my books called A Dead Herring, which is about book five in book five in the series, is set in a castle in Scotland, and I dragged him to probably five or six different castles, took lots of pictures, and just tried to absorb the atmosphere. And you can't go more than about 10 miles in Scotland without coming across a castle. So it's a very inspirational place to go. So I like to go and do that. We also take the dogs for a walk, as most people do that have got dogs. And so we try and go to sort of interesting places. We've got a canal close by. We're a little bit far from the sea. We're a good hour and a half away from the beach. But if we get a chance to go away for a weekend, we quite often go to the coast. I like reading cosies and just meeting up with friends, keeping the garden under control and hoping that the weather's nice enough to get outside, really, which it is maybe one out of 4 or 5 days in this country, I'm afraid. Unfortunately, we don't get as much sun as we would like.
That's always disappointing when you don't get as much sun as you like. And yeah, I agree with the walking the dog. I just had to walk the dog this afternoon before the interview.
We fortunately, our dogs are quite small, so we don't have to do long treks with them because we both work. But it is nice to get out, I think, just get a bit of fresh air. We've had about 4 days in a row of sun in this country. We've not had any rain for about 4 or 5 days, which is quite exceptional. And no doubt we'll have a hose pipe ban or something soon, because that always happens when we have more than 2 or 3 days of no rain. We don't cope very well with extreme weather in this country. We will have had floods 6 weeks ago, but for some reason all that water disappears and suddenly we haven't got enough for the whole country. But it has been lovely. We've been getting out in the garden and doing a little bit of pottering around, and we've had friends over, and there's just something, I don't know whether it's the vitamin D or what it is, but there's just something very relaxing of an evening. Now it's getting lighter as well here, just to sit out in the garden and just chill. It's something that I miss a lot in the winter when we just don't get out as much as we do, or as we would like to anyway.
Yeah, that makes sense. Here in Colorado, it's been ridiculously windy for the past couple days.
Oh, I've got a friend in Oklahoma and they were getting tornadoes and all sorts of things, or due to get them in the last, I think, last 24 hours or so, 100 mile an hour winds and all sorts of things. It sounds very extreme. Our whole country would grind to a halt if we had weather that extreme. We just can't cope. If we have more than 2 or 3 inches of snow, everyone just stops doing anything. We don't have cars for it. And when it gets too hot, we don't have air conditioning. So everyone then complains it's too warm to do anything. So we are very, very, we like things just to be a nice even keel in this country. We all totter along nicely, but anything extreme and the whole place just falls to pieces.
So how can my snips and sleuths follow you?
So I'm on Facebook. If you look at Helen Golden Author, that's probably where I spend the most of my time. I think that's where probably most of my readers are. And I post every day. I'll also post if I've got any special offers on, or I've got a book in a promotion, or anything that I recommend. I am on Instagram, Helen Golden _ author. I am on TikTok. My handle is at Helen Golden Author, although I'll be honest, I tried it for about 6 months last year and it was a terrible time drag, and I stopped enjoying it after about a month. So there are lots of videos, but I haven't done anything recently, and I don't think I'm likely to in the immediate future. I've got author pages on Amazon, Goodreads, BookToReads, and BookBub. I also have a newsletter, and if people want to subscribe, then they can receive a free copy of a novella called Tick Tock Mystery Clock, which is set 7 years before Spruced Up for Murder, the first book in the series, and it introduces Perry and Simon to who solve the very their own mystery early on when they first meet. And as I said, it's free if you subscribe to my newsletter. I'll send you the link, Leanna, so you can pop it into your description if you want. All my novels are in Kindle Unlimited, so if you are a member of Kindle Unlimited, then they're essentially free. And I'm always happy to hear from people, so my email is helen@helengoldenauthor.co.uk.
And I'll be sure to include those links in the show's notes.
Thank you.
I have had so much fun talking with you. I can't believe we're already on the last question.
It goes really quickly, doesn't
Oh,
it?
I know. What is the one complaint your characters would have about you as an author?
So I think that, and that's a really good question. I think Lady Beatrice would probably say I forced her out of her comfort zone a little bit too violently in book one. But she kind of finds her level. Perry would say I make him run too much. He hates that, and he always hurts his feet. So that would definitely be his main complaint about me.
Those are great. Well, Snoops and Sleuths, you've heard another great interview here on the Cozy Sleuth. I'd like to thank my listeners for joining me on this journey. And if you'd like to listen to Cozy Mysteries read by live actors, check out the Cozy Mystery Rat's Maze, wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Until next time, this is Leanna Shields saying, keep it cozy.